This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We led off the show this morning, Tom, at 7 a.m. with headlines from last night that Kenny Pickett, the outstanding quarterback for Pittsburgh, Heisman finalist, just a tremendous dude. He's been on this program more than any other football player, has announced that he's going to opt out of the Peach Bowl. So between Kenneth Walker, the tremendous running back from Michigan State, the transfer, ironically, from Wake Forest, and now Kenny Pickett, the Peach Bowl loses two big stars.
Well, and it's a bigger deal when one handles the ball on every snap and the other might get the ball. And to me, when you consider, I didn't think the loss of Mark Whipple was that big a deal when you've got, you know, a six-year quarterback that could run the offense on his own. Now it becomes a bit of a bigger deal. And against a team in Michigan State, you look at Kenny Pickett, you look at all that he's accomplished. I mean, the banner's going to be hanging. And by the way, is there a statue of Dan Marino at Pitt anywhere?
I don't know.
Because if there is, will there be one of Kenny Pickett?
Well, you know, first time Pitt goes 10-plus wins, double digits since 81. They win their first conference championship outright ever.
Right.
Tremendous, right? And by the way, while we're talking about Kenny Pickett, how about a shout-out to Jordan Addison, consensus All-America?
Yeah.
And I saw something. He is the 54th consensus All-American from Pitt. 54th.
Think about that.
I always say Pitt's legacy of great players is sneaky good.
Sure.
Right? I mean, you think
you
of...
You just haven't experienced much of it the last 15,
exactly
20 years.
Exactly right. Yeah. But it's there. But for Kenny Pickett, we wish him the very best. He's been great with us on the show. Mm-hmm. And I know Pitt fans will be bummed out. They won't get a chance to see him play one more time. And kidding around when these bowl matchups got laid out, man, I looked at Michigan State secondary. You're thinking Kenny Pickett. You're like, wow, Merry Christmas to me. Right. Merry Christmas to me. But unfortunately, we're not going to see that, nor will we see Kenneth Walker. Again, just a tremendous back, having a great year for Michigan State. But you know what? Pitt's going to show up, try to win their 12th game in the bowls, and down the road we go.
Yeah, listen, I still think top to bottom, they're probably the better overall football team. But when you don't have your quarterback, it changes everything.
Especially that guy.
That guy.
Right.
And the leadership at the offensive coordinator position no longer being. That's a double whammy if you're Pat Narduzzi.
Yeah, and I suspect as we sit here on December 17th, that won't be the last we hear of opt-outs, right?
No.
Walker's going to be a big name, obviously. Pickett, big name. I think it's just the start.
What's going to frustrate me, though, is if the opt-outs are guys that – haven't even been projected to either be drafted or projected to be drafted anywhere near the first round, especially if they're an underclassman. That stuff drives me crazy because it's like, who are you listening to, dude? You need this bowl game.
Yeah.
You need to play. You need another sample size, another metric, some other form of evaluation one last time if you have hopes of being an NFL guy.
Yeah, and we discussed this in the first hour of the show. The old school mentality is, what are you talking about? You're leaving. Man, you go finish the job. That's what you signed up to do. The new school mentality is, hey, I've done some work. You know what my body of work is. Now I take care of me. And it's all about the NFL.
Well, and with the oversaturation of bowl games, the fact that 6-6 teams are playing in bowl games, we've devalued the value of the bowl game. The player doesn't look at it as an important part of their career.
And this is a New Year's Day 6 bowl. This is not my dog ain't my homework.com bowl. This is the real deal, right?
It is.
All right, speaking of bowls, Mr. Luganville, since you travel around the country each and every week, we're going to test your knowledge on bowls.
Oh, boy.
All right? I am going to give to you a title sponsor. Now, I don't want you looking at your computer. Put your computer screen down.
Put my screen down.
No cheating allowed.
No cheating.
We're going to see how well you know the bowl system.
Okay.
I am going to present to you a sponsor name, and I want you to tell me the bowl. All right?
Okay.
You good?
Mm-hmm.
Name that bowl, Tom. Where is the Tail Greeter Bowl?
The Tail Greeter Bowl?
The Tail Greeter Bowl.
And who's playing in it?
Well, I mean, just give me the town in it. If you get it right, I'll give you a chance for bonus points.
Boca Raton.
Tail Greeter. Do you have a clue?
Boca Raton.
That'd be incorrect. All That'd right. be Orlando.
It's Orlando? How many games are in Orlando?
17.
Okay. I just know I got two of them.
All right. That's incorrect. Try this. Where is the Roof Claim Bowl?
The roof claim bowl.
I promise you I'm not going to ask you where the moon pod bowl is, but where is the roof claim bowl?
New Orleans.
That would be in Boca Raton.
Oh, man, I was one off. Come on.
Where is the Radiant Technologies bowl? Chester just rolled over and moaned in pain.
Is that what a moan? Was that a moan?
That was a moan.
Okay.
Just He's like, Master, are we going to watch this one?
The Radiance Technologies Bowl.
Yeah.
Independence. That's Shreveport.
Ooh, good call.
Yeah.
And you know who's playing in it.
BYU and UAB.
You got that right.
Yeah, there 100% we go. Right. Okay.
The Tax Act Bowl.
The Tax Act Bowl?
Yeah.
Jacksonville?
Houston, Texas.
Houston.
Would you like to guess who's in it?
Did that used to be the Texas Bowl?
They all used to be the Texas Bowl.
That used to be the Texas Bowl? Yeah. I think LSU's in it, but I don't know who they're playing.
No, it's not. It's Georgia State Ball.
Dang it.
Yeah, everything I think eventually came from the Blue Bonnet Bowl or the Texas Bowl.
Right? No, wait a minute. Look. What? Texas Bowl. LSU's in it.
All right, great. You want that one? You want credit for that?
I did get credit for it. It just showed up on the screen.
Where is the Tropical Smoothie Bowl?
Miami.
No, but that would be a good idea.
Right?
You're in Frisco, Texas.
How is that in Frisco, Texas?
Would you like to guess who's in it?
No.
I'll give you a clue. I'll give you a hint. You mentioned their name earlier today on the show.
I mentioned their name?
Yes. I'll give you another hint. Related to the Luganville family.
Oh, it's UTSA and San Diego State.
You got it.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Where is the Easy Post Bowl?
Easy Post Bowl?
I'm not making any of this up. Easy Post Bowl.
Idaho, Boise.
No, you wished.
I know, right?
How about Hawaii? Because nothing rolls off the tongue like Easy Post and Hawaii.
Easy Post Hawaii game. Good for Memphis.
Hey, anybody making the road trip, you right? Gotta love it.
Yes.
Life is good. How about the Ticket Smarter Bowl? No, I was just talking about a bunch of people the other day about the Ticket Smarter Bowl.
Ticket Smarter Bowl?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The traditional Ticket Smarter Bowl, one of the most legendary games in the history of college football.
Montgomery.
You think about...
Birmingham.
You're right.
No, didn't that used to be the Papa John's Bowl?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Whatever you say. Go ahead.
Ticket Smarter Bowl. That's Houston Auburn, by the way. How about the Guaranteed Rate Bowl?
Memphis. No.
Wrong time zone.
Wrong time zone?
Yeah. I'll give you a hint. Drew Brooks.
Oh, San Diego. Oh, Arizona.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, Phoenix, Arizona.
West Virginia, Minnesota. You like that game?
No. Do you?
Guaranteed Rate Bowl? Not really. How about the Wasabi Bowl?
Oh, wait a minute. Because this has ACC teams, but this is Fenway. This is Boston.
Yes.
Boom.
You're on a roll.
I am on a bit of a roll.
You are rolling. Do you know who Virginia's playing?
Yeah, SMU.
They
better buckle up.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Right?
SMU's pretty good.
How about the Trans Perfect Bowl?
The Trans Perfect Bowl.
Oh, come on now. This one's easy. Trans Perfect, you know, every year.
Oh, Nashville. Nashville,
yes.
Tennessee.
I mean, we get in the middle of the summer. I mean, all the conversation is, man, you think we're good enough to get to the Trans Perfect Bowl? We certainly hope so. If we can get to 6 wins, I like our chances of getting the Trans Perfect Bowl.
Get to 6 wins.
I'm going to give you one more.
All right.
Best for last. The SRS Distribution Bowl. Can you imagine, before you even guess, can you imagine winning the game and then refusing the trophy? Is that possible? I'd like to present to you the winner of the SRS Distribution Bowl. You know, you guys keep that for next year. We're good. We may even put it in our magazine next year.
I don't know why I'm trying to tie like all of these sponsors to a certain footprint that it sounds like they would be affiliated with. I don't know why I'm doing that.
Come on, the SRS Distribution Bowl.
I'm going to go with New Orleans again.
No.
No?
Vegas, baby.
Vegas? Really? Ooh.
There you go.
Name Arizona that State bowl. Wisconsin.
How about that game?
Woo. The SRS Las Vegas.
I think we're going to pass on that trophy there, boss. You boys keep that for next year, and we'll just chalk that another W. There you go. There's just some of the bowls. They get started today.
That's right. Get started today.
I love it. Yeah. All right. Quick break. We come back. The head football coach of your Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, that'd be Jeff Collins. He is scheduled to join us next. Tom Luganville filling in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham. You got us right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. Tom Luganville filling in for Wes, as I mentioned, on secret assignment to Fargo. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We are now joined down in beautiful ATL, the head football coach of Georgia Tech. That'd be the one and only Jeff Collins, making his 11th appearance on the program, tying him with Dave Clawson and Leonard Hamilton for the most ever. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. Appreciate y'all having me on. Am I still the only one that's ever been in the studio, or have y'all had anybody else do that?
You are the only coach that has co-hosted the program. No, yes. I take that back. In studio. Yeah. Coach Forbes at Wake Forest also co-hosted, but he was not in studio. You're the only guy. Only guy to do that.
Gotcha. Yep. Appreciate y'all having me.
So that means, you know, the old ESPN poster we got over here that's been signed by everybody that's been in the studio. You're the only coach that's got the John Hancock up there. Only one.
There we go.
By the way, speaking of, tell me how crazy it was Wednesday in this new era of recruiting and National Signing Day. How nuts is it?
Yeah. I'm blessed with a great recruiting staff and assistant coaches that did a great job putting a class together. And, you know, the leadership and all those things within the class to hold it together. And just really proud of the guys that signed with us. Mike Flynn said it was the highest concentration of four stars since 2007 in one class. And, you know, on top of being really good players, really good young men, and obviously academics is a priority for them by choosing Georgia Tech as well. So just really excited about them.
You know, Coach, with all of the challenges that you're presented with now that maybe you never have been before, you've got the transfer portal, you've got the extra year of eligibility, you're trying to deal with your numbers, who's going in, who's going out. How do you relay that information to, let's just say, the high school prospect, where normally you know your definitive hard number of your initial counters, and now you're nowhere close to knowing that number? How do you relay that information to try to get the prospect to understand just how dramatically things have changed in recruiting?
Yeah, it's a very fluid process, and it's you know, 7-8 times a day, me and Patrick Suttis looking at our roster management sheet and make sure we're managing the numbers the right way. We had two big announcements on signing day. Jamias Griffin coming back, running back. He was Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Georgia, USA Today All-American. He's played 2 years here. He's coming back. And then Ace Ely, a young man that we got out of the transfer portal last year, was a team captain for us. He announced on signing day that he's coming back as well. So adding those two, still on the roster with the 13 guys that we were able to sign, plus the next 2-3 weeks, there'll be some transfers that'll join the program. So just managing all of that, you know, it takes a fluid working environment and guys that I can really trust to help make the best decisions for the roster and for the team.
Coach, what would you guess between now and February in terms of any additions to this roster?
Yeah, I don't want to put a hard number on it. You know, it's a fluid situation, but, you know, obviously we've got positions targeted of need, and you know, to add to the guys that we have in the program, and just really fired up to get back to work on January 9th. That's when our reporting day is, and you know, do some steps to get the results looking the way that they're supposed to look come next fall.
And Coach, I don't know how much you've had to actually deal with this yet as it relates to name, image, and likeness, but it looks to me like it's going to become increasingly difficult to discern between the player that wants to be the best version of himself, wants to be a great player, wants to play college football, maybe one day be a professional football player, versus that guy that's just chasing dollar signs and is out there to say, well, I'm going to go here because this program, A, B, or C, could offer me the most opportunity, I guess, in that realm. Have we ever seen anything like this before as far as challenges for recruiting in college football?
Well, I mean, you know, us being here in Atlanta with all the Fortune 500 companies and, you know, the opportunities that exist right here in our backyard, obviously, you know, we take it as a huge advantage, a huge selling point for our program. But then, like everything we do, the getting to know the young men that we bring into our locker room, that we bring into our program, and just making sure the goals and the vision that they have aligned for their present and their future are aligned with the guys in our locker room. So that's the conversation every single year, regardless of the state that, you know, college football is in or whatever else it is, getting people that fit into your roster, fit into the locker room, and, you know, have a shared vision of what they want to do individually and as a team. And then, you know, the layers of the name, image, the likeness, and all those opportunities and the internship possibilities that exist here in the city of Atlanta. All of those are advantages to us, but the key piece is making sure the fit is right for the young men that we're recruiting and for us as well.
Coach, obviously new additions this week with signing day, but you've also had some new additions on your staff since the last time we spoke.
Yeah, absolutely. Hired a new offense coordinator, Chip Long, and you know, did a deep dive you know, into what we need to do to take the next steps in the program to take us to that next level and get the results on the field to where we expect, the fans expect, I expect, everybody associated with Georgia Tech football expects. And after a deep dive into, you know, the guys that had interest in this place, I think we found the right guy. And, you know, if you look at a five-year period of the top offensive coordinators in college football, Chip Long is right there in the top five. If you just look at data and you look at analytics for what he did in his time at Memphis, what he did in his time at Notre Dame. And, you know, I think a lot of people still remember the first game of the season when the Tulane Green Wave went into Northern Norman, Oklahoma, and had a really good showing, especially offensively. And, you know, I think he's an elite play caller, and he's exactly what we need at this time for us to take the next step. Then the next part, you know, I know Wes is in Fargo, North Dakota, but the next guy, the DB coach, Travaris Tillman, I'm sure Wes Durham's got many memorable calls of Travaris being a four-year starter, team captain, winning a ton of games while he was a leader here, and now he comes back after being 7 years in the league and, you know, coaching defensive backs at Power Five programs, leaving one of the top 10 teams in the country to return back home to his alma mater. Just really excited about Travaris coming back. And then, two, just one voice in the secondary, one voice in that defensive back room. Travaris will be our defensive backs coach, and really excited that he's back home with us.
Coach, you mentioned the expectation level at Tech, what you expect, what your players expect, the fans, the alumni, the city of Atlanta. And you also have to consider, and there are, of course, no excuses in this. Everybody understands that. But during the pandemic, with the roster overhaul and the changeover that you knew you were going to have to embark on when you took the job, and then to have essentially a 15-month window where kids can't come on campus, you can't go off campus, how much did that impede your ability to maybe accelerate this roster flip over faster than maybe you've been able to because of the pandemic?
Yeah, and there's a lot of reasons for everything, but the biggest thing, you know, as we get through the end of the season this year and just take a deep dive into every single thing that we can do to get better, you know, we've had a lot of success everywhere we've been, but, you know, whatever translates into us taking the next step, the biggest piece for me is I've taken full responsibility. Ownership looked at every single thing that we need to do to get better, whether it be offensive systems, defensive systems, the way we practice, the way we do our offseason, the way we time up our spring ball, every little detail that it takes for us to take the next step, I'm completely invested in. And, you know, the reasons for whatever happened, any shortcomings we might have had in the past, I take full responsibility for, and not going to worry about the pandemic, not going to worry about the transition. I'm just going to worry about taking the next step in the program. And that's really doing a deep dive into every single thing that we can improve on and not leaving any stone unturned. I learned that from Coach O'Leary. Look at every single thing that we can do to get better as an organization. And, you know, it starts with me. And I'm excited for the guys to get back January 9th. And let's head into the offseason and take the next big step in the program.
Coach, once the recruiting part ends, I know it never really stops, but once the signing part ends, what becomes priority one for Georgia Tech in the spring?
Yeah, just get back to work. Less talk, more work, less worrying about the branding. I think the brand is set. You know, we just want to coach, get back on the grass, get back in the weight room. We've moved everything up earlier this year. You know, last year we didn't start anything or we didn't start spring ball until after spring break. This year we'll be done with spring ball before we even head on spring break. So just getting back on the grass, coaching ball, playing ball, getting better in every single way that we can. And that's the biggest piece in all of it.
Coach, you've now been around the block here in Atlanta. Is it getting harder or easier given the landscape of college athletics?
Well, I think we're well positioned, in the city for recruits, for transfers, for all the opportunities that exist at being one of the top academic schools in the country and one of the most vibrant cities in the country. So we're well positioned. But now it's just time, once we get back January 9th, just to get into that weight room, get in the meeting room, then get out to spring practice and work to put a really good product on the field for the fall and have the process and the effort equal in results when we get to the season.
Hey, Coach, can you just tell Todd Stansberry to just lighten up on the calculus classes? I mean, the guy's my academic advisor in 1994, tells me I have to take 5 calculus courses. I mean, are you kidding me? What's going on, man?
Yeah, no, Todd does a great job, and we've got an amazing academic staff that do a great job with our guys. We've had some record GPAs here in the last 3 years, and just some guys that are really good football players but value academics. And we've got an academic staff with Chris Breen, Brandon Potterbaum, Phyllis Labaugh that do an unbelievable job with the advisement of our guys, tutoring, study hall, all of those things to make sure that they're successful in the classroom at one of the top academic schools in the country.
Coach, offbeat question. We've been asking all the coaches, regardless of sport, here the last couple of weeks. For you personally, what is the ultimate Jeff Collins walk-up music to get you absolutely jacked up and ready to roll? What are you listening to?
There's too many, man. There's a lot that we go through.
Only one. You get one.
Yeah, I'm not going to put myself out there on that because I've got graduate assistants sitting here watching the show. I've got Todd McCarthy sitting next door. And the second I walk by their offices, they're going to play it full blast. And so I'm going to leave that right here with me.
That's why he's not saying it's Barry Manilow. That's why. That's why he won't say it.
You know, hey, Coach, it's okay to say Adele. Seriously, we won't hold it against you.
Dude, Neil Diamond won't hate you.
Well, listen, we always appreciate the time. I know your schedule is nuts. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and all that good stuff, and we look forward to bumping into you here soon.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, guys. Go Jackets.
You got it. Jeff Collins refuses to answer the question. May come back to haunt you.
5 calculus courses, man.
Yeah, no problem with that. That's right down. I normally deal with a partner that has really difficult times with math.
Oh, you're still dealing with one. I can promise you that, right? But regardless of partner, that ain't changed in this chair.
I love it. All right, quick break. We come back. You're going to hear what Dave Dorn had to say. He went some really interesting comments regarding the NCAA big picture recruiting in the world that we live in currently, especially this week with National Signing Day. You'll hear that. And, of course, we'll take phone calls too at 844-SAY-ACC. And that's Tom Luganville filling in for Wes Durham, who was snowbound in Fargo, North Dakota. Come right back to you. It's Packer and Durham right here on the ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Virginia Tech. Yes, sir. We're going to jump on Florida State, see where that goes. Elizabeth Kittley, she joined us earlier this week. And in NC State, after being upset last night while the Georgia Bulldogs look for a little revenge. They got Virginia. That's at 4 p.m. A little doubleheader for you right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. All right, we'll get back to football because that's how Tom Luganville likes it. Many thanks to Jeff Collins who just joined us. Dave Doran was pretty outspoken this week. And a lot of coaches, I think, have kind of had enough with the aggravation and the nonsense. And here's what Dave Doran had to say regarding a number of issues regarding the current state of college athletics.
Yeah, I mean, I think the NCAA has completely failed us as coaches with our roster management. I'm sure they thought it was a great idea during COVID to award everybody on the roster an extra year, and I can see why that happened. Personally feel like the model we had last year that allowed our super seniors to not count in our 85 was the right model. To say that that's a one-year deal, but you awarded it to 5 years of players.
Exactly.
Is not a good situation to be in as a football coach. You know, you're either recruiting fewer players, which means the future of your program's not the way you want it. You can't develop the guys the way you normally do with 20 to 25 guys a year, which hurts the high schools. I mean, the number of high schools I went into where players just don't have anywhere to go because of this rule, it's sad. You know, it's really sad. You know, and the second part of it is it increases, you know, the number of guys probably that want to stay. It changes, you know, our ability to predict attrition. Like, how many seniors do you have? 15. Okay, well, then you have 15 scholarships next year. That's not how it is. You know, so you're either going to slow down and recruit fewer guys or you're going to end up with almost too many and maybe ask some kids to go. And I don't think that's a good thing either. You know, so I think the NCAA really screwed this one up. That's just my opinion. They probably don't care what my opinion is, you know. But I hope there's some relief at some point to help all these high school kids that have nowhere to go. And not just them, you know. I mean, they created a portal where all these guys can go where they want, and there's no scholarship space for anyone to take any of them. With regard to us taking more players, it just depends on attrition, Matt. Like, if we have attrition, then, you know, the portal obviously stays open until August, right? So if things happen between now and then and we can add, we will. If it doesn't, then we won't.
Tom, that sounds pretty similar to what you were barking about an hour and a half ago.
I mean, can we just play that on a loop over and over and over? I mean, it's easy because at the end of the day, we do have to look at this as a player problem that was not created by a coach or a school, right? But now we have a player problem with no solution on how to fix it. So the goal is for everybody that is talented enough to have the opportunity to potentially play on scholarship. Now, listen, there's a reason why there are Power 5 schools, Group of 5 schools, FCS schools, Division 2, Division 3, NAIA. It's because there's different levels of talent, right? So not everybody's going to go to Alabama. Not everybody's going to go to Ohio State or Clemson or what have you. But this system that we are now in, and what we have gone into with no plan, no blueprint, no type of legislation on how to enact it, deal with it, and fix it, is hurting the player. The high school player is the one that's being squeezed out. Junior college player is too. Two cycles ago in the 2020 class, there were just over 300 junior college players that signed. Last year in the 2021 class, there was 100 players that signed. So that's just the JUCO side. Imagine what's happening now at the high school side, because Dave Doran touched on something there that's very, very important. And we touched on this. Okay, well, I've got a bunch of I got 17 redshirt juniors. Oh, wait a minute. They're actually redshirt sophomores. And I've got 10 redshirt seniors. Wait a minute. They're actually redshirt juniors. So now I got to go to all of those guys. I got to figure out, are you coming back or are you not coming back? Talked to Dave Clawson earlier. It looks like on paper they've signed 20 guys. But 8 of the scholarships went to players that are already on their roster that decided to come back. So where would those 8 scholarships have gone, Pac?
To the high school guy.
That's correct. Yep. Times that by 130 teams.
It's a problem.
It's a big problem.
With no solution.
With no solution right now. And on top of it, that's not even counting the play. So you're using those scholarships for players on your own roster. That's not counting the scholarships you're withholding from the high school level to potentially use in the transfer portal in the spring and summer. which is what everybody's investing in now, too.
Well, you heard from Dave Dorn. We played the Dabo clip. You heard from Dave Clawson. And the other thing, too, is, okay, that's now. How about next year, right? I mean, it's a juggling act every day because you don't know which guy's going to come in and go, hey, guess what, Coach? I love you, but I'm gone. Or, hey, man, I love being here. I got another year. I'm coming back.
I'm coming back, yeah. And then what if the coach says, I'm sorry.
I don't have space for you.
You're in your last year of eligibility. I know you get that extra year. As part of the rule, we're not required to give it to you, which I guarantee you those kids don't know that rule exists.
Right.
And what if they're perfectly happy? They love being in the program. That's what you want out of your program,
good
right?
Good student.
Good student. He's doing everything right. And you're telling him no.
It doesn't make any sense. It is as screwed up as you can get.
Yeah.
And I think what Dave Dorn just said, hey, NCAA, thank you very much. You guys just basically said, hey, here's a rule. We'll wash your hands. You guys go worry about it. Yeah. We'll pass.
Yeah. And it would, again, to his point, it would have been an entirely different animal had they given the extra year of eligibility to just the people that were in their last year of eligibility.
Right. You can deal with that.
That you can deal with because it's maybe a year, 18-month scenario. This is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real quick, and there was a couple teams we did not touch base with. Louisville. Mm-hmm. Coach Satt. I know they flipped a wide receiver from Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the recruit?
I thought they did a really good job. I thought they cast a wide net, went into a lot of people's backyards and pulled some guys out that were really good. The most important thing they did in recruiting was get Malik Cunningham back. I think that's as important as anything they did in high school recruiting, because if you have a quarterback, you have a chance. And if that team starts off the way they ended offensively, they're going to be a problem next year. I think they've got a chance to be a pretty good football team. So I think Malik Cunningham's as big a part of that recruiting class as anything else.
It's kind of like when we had Tony Elliott on the show. I said, you know, I don't know who you're going to sign, but I know this. The fact that Brendan Armstrong decided to come back is a game changer. Virginia, same deal.
So, I mean, it just gives you such a leg up, right? But I think that there's been a lot going on there, obviously, institutionally, administratively.
Who's the president? Who's the AD?
Who's the AD? And then I think, to be honest with you, Scott Satterfield, probably, you know, regrettably, got entangled in the situation with the South Carolina job, and that wasn't ideal. But I just, when you're at a place like Louisville, one of the challenges is that you can't build ACC Atlantic Division championship contending roster in the state of Kentucky. You're forced to go into everybody else's backyard. So when I talked about casting a wide net, all right, Indiana, Florida, North Carolina, Kentucky, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., Massachusetts, Michigan, South Carolina, and Texas.
Got it covered.
It's a lot of places to be, and it's not easy to do it. And the further away they are, the bigger the risk they are. You know, so I thought from a talent-wise, it's a quality class, but there's obviously some challenges there because you can't just build, and neither can Mark Stoops at Kentucky. He has to go into everybody else's backyard, too.
One more team, Syracuse, Dino Babers.
I just think the performance on the field's killed them. You know, it's hard. It's hard for them. You don't have in-state players. You have to go into bordering states. You have weather conditions. There are so many things that I think in today's landscape that exist for that program that did not exist when they were in the Big East. And that's, I don't know how you're supposed to get the caliber of player that can beat the better teams on your roster while you're there right now. And there's just challenges in that job that are inherent regardless of who the coach is.
So what's the solution?
Relocate the campus?
No. You cannot do that.
No, you cannot.
Even if you know the folks at SRS Distribution, it's not going
to
happen.
To be honest with you, it's a great question. You have to be very, very selective. You're probably going to have to make some reaches on guys that you really, truly believe in that maybe wouldn't play for you right away.
Does it become a scheme issue that maybe that's the way you kind of –
Maybe. I mean, it could be. I mean, if you're going to sit, and I'm assuming what you're getting at is if you're going to sit there and try to be a wide open spread team, but you don't have access to those athletes, is that doing you any good? Do you need to maybe go back to being more of a, you know, a point of attack type of football team on offense, on defense, because that's the type of kid you have access to? Maybe so. That could be part of the solution. There's no doubt. Now you're talking about huge philosophical shifts, too.
By the way, speaking of Syracuse, reports are out now that their next two men's basketball games, which were scheduled to be against Lehigh and Cornell, have been postponed. So, again, not to get ahead of the story here, but this has been a growing trend, unfortunately, in the last couple of days regarding COVID and issues along those types that we've seen a ton of postponements and cancellations moving forward. So if you had access to the Syracuse games, I know that was going to be one of our games this weekend on ACC Network against Lehigh. That is not going to be happening. So Syracuse, Lehigh, Syracuse, and Cornell are not going to happen on the hardwood.
By the way, one last thing about Syracuse too. No quarterback in the high school class. So are we going to the transfer portal again? It's going to be interesting to see what Dino decides to do there.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan. So,
well, Dino?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's a guy to root for, right?
Yeah, it's just a challenging job.
Take a quick call here before we go to break. I got Kevin in North Carolina who's been holding patiently. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Happy holidays. I got three quick ones here for Luke's, the recruiting guru. I've never understood in normal years, obviously the last couple of years aren't normal, but normal years, the ACC has never taken many JC transfers at all. I know you were JC when you went to Tech, but they've never taken is it the academics of the ACC being the best? The academics department doesn't like to take these JCs and they just can't get them into school. That's the first one. The second one is I just don't get kids. You know, the stipend came down, I don't know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago. The situation there was it was money, money, money. Don't some of these kids realize that the average in the five private schools in the ACC, the average tuition is $60,000 a year, as opposed to a public school, which is, I don't know, roughly $12,000 a year. The bang for your buck would be go to one of those private schools, get your $60,000 a year tuition. And the last one is not really about the COVID issue at all. It's basically this transfer, being able to transfer without sitting a year. I mean, this is ridiculous. This had nothing to do with the COVID situation. You got a kid that's some star at North Texas State or UT, El Paso or Wyoming gets recruited off the roster after a year, good year or two, and he doesn't have to sit if he played at Wyoming. You know, that had nothing to do with the COVID situation.
So answer the first part on the junior college thing. I think a lot of it just has to do with sheer proximity. Your most heavily populated schools that play junior college football are almost entirely on the West Coast, predominantly in California. Now, you have some select programs in Kansas. You have some select programs in Mississippi. But there just hasn't seemed to be, I think, a distinct need to go that route. And a lot of it, too, is keep in mind the footprint that most of the ACC or much of the ACC resides in or has access to is the most heavily talented populated player pool in all of college football. So a lot of it may just be need versus proximity as it relates to the junior college side. As it relates to schools with tuition and the value of a scholarship and what they're getting for the scholarship, you're giving the prospect way too much credit. They have no idea what that's about. They don't care. It has really nothing to do with their decision-making process. And you're right. The one-time transfer rule and the ability to transfer up, transfer down, be available immediately has nothing to do with COVID. Absolutely nothing to do with COVID. But if you coincide what COVID did create, and that was the addition of the extra year of eligibility, that's the double whammy. So you allowed the one-time transfer rule. It had nothing to do with COVID. Then you had COVID on top of it, which has created your numbers and your scholarship and your initial counter problem. And listen, there's a lot of debate on that, Pac. I don't know how you feel about it. You know, everybody tries to say, oh, well, if a coach can go, the player can go. And I can see a bit of that. But my biggest hard time with all of that is comparing a 19-year-old kid to a, let's just say, a 47-year-old working professional that's earned a college degree and probably a postgraduate degree and has a family and is putting food on the table. Those aren't the same thing.
There's a difference between being an employee and a student athlete.
That's exactly
right. Those are two separate animals.
Right.
Now you can try to combine them. That's all fine and good, but there is a big difference.
There's a big difference. And when let's just say a Brian Kelly decides to make a professional move in his professional career where he had been at a job at the helm for almost 11 years, saying that, well, he can do that, but player A who's 19 years old that has been in the program for 1 year and trying to say they're the same, they're not the same.
I don't think they are.
No.
I know there are people.
And that's
that
not a get off my lawn. I hate all the player side of thing. I'm not saying that at all. But I'll know this. And I know it's different. I know the money's different. I know what college football has become. But I don't know if there was ever a time in my entire life, as a player, as a coach, as a son of a coach, where I ever went into any situation, I thought I was on the same par with my coach in every facet, right? I thought I should have been treated the same.
It would be, in some respects, the same thing when you go to work. There's a boss and then there's a non-boss.
Yeah, there's a CEO and then there's there's the intern.
Right. I mean, I would love to get the same private plane that Wes had to go to Fargo, but I don't.
But you don't.
It's part of the gig.
Part of the gig.
You got to keep working to get to that level.
Keep working. And I know we heard Dabo too talk about how he'd like to continue to keep stressing education, keep earning a degree, and say, okay, listen, if you go and you transfer, you still have to sit, but if you get your degree, we'll give you a year back.
That's your incentive.
Okay, that's your incentive. All right, I kind of like that.
And if you have your degree, hey, you can go wherever you want.
You can go wherever you want, and nobody has a problem with it, right? And the other thing about all of this, too, that I found, because this is where I think if you ask most coaches and you say, okay, show me all the players that you've had in the first 2 years of them being on campus that have entered into the transfer portal in the first 2 years. And I guarantee you it's the majority of them. Why? Because they're not playing, right? Because they think they should be playing right away, and they think that it either should have been handed to them, or they're not willing to compete, and they won't bide their time. They won't just do what's necessary. Those are the guys that are entering into the transfer portal. That's what's happening. So,
and guess what? They have no place to go.
And they have no place to go, and they don't get it because the wrong people are in their ear telling them, oh, you're getting hosed over here,
and now they think the system screwed me.
Absolutely.
And it didn't. You just made a bad decision. That's life.
Or you made the right decision, but aren't willing to work for it once you got there.
That's right.
You got to work. Got to work.
That's what we got to do. We got to take a break here and work, because when we come back, the Bojangles weekend menu is upon us. It's got a little bit of everything. We will explain when we return. Tom Luganville filled in for Wes Durham. It's Packer and Durham. You got us. ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
It is time for the Bojangles weekend menu. And Tom Luganville, it is loaded.
Scrumptious.
Loaded with good things. Here we go. How about today? I ain't going to mess around. Today, men's basketball. Richmond, NC State. That's at 6:30. Tonight, Wake Forest takes on Charlotte. Those games right here in the Queen City. Tomorrow, FDU heading to UVA. That's 2 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, Duke found an opponent. That'd be Loyola of Maryland coming to Cameron Indoor for a check and a beatdown. Then South Carolina and Clemson still scheduled to go. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time men's basketball. Sunday, women's hoops. Duke at Miami. Virginia Tech at Florida State. Virginia at NC State, Wake Forest, and Georgia Tech. That's it. You got four of them. All begins at high noon on Sunday. Every single one of those games on ACC Network today, Saturday, Sunday.
Full slate.
Full slate of hoops. Yeah. You like it? We got it for you right here. All right, man. It's great seeing you, as always.
You too, man. Good to be actually back in proximity with humanity.
Yeah. And you got a chance to put the fencing helmet on during the break?
The fencing helmet on, Notre and then Dame. I was informed that there was a javelin. Had I known that at 7 a.m. this morning, I would have probably been sitting here with it like this
let me tell you something.
The whole entire time.
That's not just a javelin. That's a Florida State track and field javelin.
But should it have like feathers on the back end of it?
No.
Yeah,
I have thrown it into the neighbor's yard.
It's like this, right? You got to have, like, why doesn't it have that feather?
Well, I mean, if you want to put one on there, you can. But I'll tell you what, I did throw it in the backyard.
You did?
The neighbor's backyard. It's really? Pretty cool.
Yeah, see, put that right there. That's it right there. Put that right there. And that, did you gore anybody with it?
No. I just made sure that the neighborhood kids were at school. I did it between shows.
How far did it go?
You can hum it, man. Oh. Yeah, it's pretty good. Gotta tell you.
Can I take that over?
The red tail hawk. The red tail hawk doesn't swoop down like it used to.
Kept flying off just.
That doesn't happen. Listen, my man Wes Durham at Fargo, I hope he's going to be okay.
He's indoors.
Lugs is rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
We got to get out of here. Back row, Chrissy, Lumberjacks, great job. We got to get out of here. Folks, enjoy your weekend. We're back Monday, 7 a.m. sharp, right here on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.